You are listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. For more information, please feel free to contact us by visiting our website at harvestgranger.org.
Let's get our Bibles open to Luke chapter 17. And in a moment, we're going to read about some men. And I'm going to meet you there in just a moment. As you know, we've started the 5G series, and we are trusting the Lord to make us a glorifying, growing, grateful, gracious, and generous church. And we're going to take some intentionality and some urgency to get there. And so you've noticed how these flow from one another. We want to be a glorifying disciple, and we want to be a growing disciple. And here's an area that for me is a huge area where I need to grow. It is in the area of gratefulness. And so, Lord, make the pastor a grateful pastor. That's my prayer today. I trust it's the prayer for the person that occupies your seat this morning as well. So as we get started here this morning, let's just put a definition down. What are we talking about? We talk about grateful. Now, please understand, we are not in an etiquette course here. We're not talking about proper manners. What we are doing is trying to cut away a heart condition that makes me ungrateful. We're attacking something that is a root problem that causes all kinds of other issues to flow out of my life. And we're going to get to the heart of ungratefulness here this morning. But before we do, let's put a definition to it. I read a lot of different definitions. I looked at a lot of different ideas about what gratefulness is. And I kind of smashed them all together. And here's my best shot at a one-sentence definition of gratefulness. Gratefulness is a heart attitude of joy, motivated by a benefit received that returns expressions of appreciation for the joy of the benefactor. Okay? It is a heart attitude of joy motivated by a benefit received that returns expressions of appreciation for the joy of the benefactor. Notice, gratefulness is not something that you just feel. I'm not asking you to feel something this morning. I am asking you to express something. Unexpressed gratefulness equals ungratefulness. So we're going to unpack this definition here. We're going to look a lot at scripture. Normally we kind of walk through verse by verse, just one page or one paragraph of scripture. And we're going to meet you there in Luke 17 in a moment. But before we do, let's kind of survey what the Bible has to say about gratefulness. Now, as we do that, I can remember this really is a hard issue that begins, you begin to see it in the early stages of life. I have four children, and we went to a parenting class very early because we didn't know what in the world we were doing with these children, and we needed all the help that we could get. And so we tried to read every book and go to every conference and talk to every parent we knew to try to straighten out these kids and not mess them up any more than they were messed up because we didn't know what we were doing as parents. And somebody told us that children, babies, have the ability to express things to parents even before they form a vocabulary. How many of you as parents have recognized children can express things? Yes. And so we wanted our children to express gratefulness. And so these people told us, they said, you ought to teach them some sign language because they may not be able to form the words right, but they could make some signs to communicate with you what they want and what they need. And so the first thing that we taught our children was sign language for please. How many of you know what sign language for please is? Everybody do that right now. Everybody, please is this, right? You do that? Which is interesting. If you're a parent, we learned this. If your child is asking, please may I have my second peanut butter and jelly sandwich? It just kind of creates laundry issues. But anyway, they please, you know, they want more, and this is more, and they're please more, and all, they're doing that. And then we wanted them to learn how to say thank you. Everybody know the sign language for thank you? You know, everybody there? Yeah. Which is cool. So one of the things that's really weird about our lives is for 15 years, really the first 15 years of our children's lives, it was on public display at all moments of the day. All right, because we traveled in this ministry and the church served us lunch and dinner every day. So imagine if you had the whole church sitting around watching your children eat lunch and dinner every day. Your parenting skills are on display. And so there we were, and we're trying to teach our children at lunch and dinner, you know, say thank you and say please, and they're doing that. And pretty soon people started to look around us like, what are they doing with this and that? And they said, well, they're saying please and thank you. And they said, no way. I said, yeah. They said, well, I want to see it. They said, give them something. So we give them something, you know, and thank you. I'm like, wow, that's cool. Let me go grab Martha. She's got to see this too. And pretty soon we had a crowd of people standing around our children, you know, please and thank you. And we make them do it again. So I had to keep giving them stuff, you know, thank you. And the more I gave, the more they said thank you. And pretty soon there's a crowd of people looking at my kids. And I am a proud parent at this point. I mean, my glory as a father is on display. I've got grateful kids here. At least they're at least saying thank you. And the more they said thank you, guess what? The father wanted to do more. I wanted to give them more stuff. Now, if I have that heart as an earthly parent, what kind of heart does our heavenly father have to give us stuff and have the joy as the benefactor to hear back, thank you, I'm grateful? Could it be that you are living with less stuff because you haven't been grateful for the stuff the Father's already provided? And He would give more if you were more grateful? Well, we want to find out what this issue is all about. So it's a serious issue with God. I want you to understand point number one is this. Gratefulness is the antidote to grumbling. Gratefulness is the antidote to grumbling. We all choose to be grateful or to grumble. You see, there is no shortage of things to grumble about. You've got a list, right? I mean, you could rattle them off right now. I mean, low income, and I lost my job, and I've got these health issues, and I've got this annoying husband, and these children don't say thank you, and we've got issues in the church, and you find all the imperfections in the political parties, and all the imperfections of your friends, and your family members, and your enemies, and you find all of these things that you can grumble about. There is no shortage of things to grumble about. But notice this verse. This was one of the first verses that we taught our children. They memorized it. The reason they memorized it is because they were experts at grumbling. Philippians 2:14 and 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights. Do you know what this verse teaches us? That we are to do everything without grumbling. We're to do low income without grumbling. We're to do job loss without grumbling. We're to do sickness without grumbling. We're to do marriage and parenting and employment without grumbling. All things without grumbling. There's no shortage of things to grumble about, but it's not an excuse. And we need to understand that we are children of God, and we are to express gratefulness to a heavenly Father, because there is so much down here that is dark and twisted and crooked, and we're to shine a light in the darkness. We can't afford to be grumblers and at the same time call ourselves Christians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Give thanks in all circumstances. How many circumstances? All. Lift up your voice. How many circumstances?
All
circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. So let's examine this verse. What's the antecedent for the word this? Two options. Give thanks or all circumstances. Do you want to know the will of God for your life? Like, man, yeah, I got to know where I'm going to college and who I'm going to marry and what job I'm supposed to take. And I got to know the will of God. Hey, it's a little fuzzy until you get to this verse. And this verse tells you exactly what the will of God is for your life. It is that you give thanks in all circumstances. So the word this, does it mean that it's the will of God for me to give thanks? Or does it mean that it's the will of God for me to be in the circumstances that I'm in? What do you think? The answer is yes. I am to give thanks in all circumstances. It's the will of God for me to do that. You say, but Trent, you don't understand my circumstances. My circumstances are sinful. My husband and my children, they're so disagreeable, and you're trying to tell me it's the will of God for the stuff that's happening to me is sin. Am I supposed to give thanks for sin? No, you don't give thanks for sin, but you give thanks that God is big enough, wise enough, and powerful enough that if he wanted to change your circumstances, he could. And if he hasn't, then it's his will for you to be in those circumstances, ball in your court. Are you going to give thanks or not? It's a choice to be grateful, or it's a choice to grumble. It's the will of God for you. Did you know that spiritual things happen when you're ungrateful? You affect the spiritual world when you're ungrateful and you grumble. You quench the Spirit. Do you need the Spirit? Yes, the Spirit of God is our helper in the midst of circumstances. So if you're grumbling and yapping and complaining and critical and fault-finding in the midst of your circumstances, do you know what happens? You pour water on the Spirit's fire in your life and you don't get the help that's available to you and you get stuck in those circumstances. But when you give thanks, you know what you get? You get the Spirit of God filling your life to give you the ability to give thanks in the midst of terrible circumstances. It doesn't take very long for us to figure out if you're grateful or you're a grumbler. What happens when you face difficult circumstances? So don't be grumbler. Don't be a grumbler. Be grateful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says this. We must not put Christ to the test. Oh, really? How do we do that? As some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyers. Like, well, who are them? Well, he's talking about them people back in Numbers. Moses led them out of Egypt. They were in slavery and bondage, horrible circumstances. And they got an upgrade. They got to go into the wilderness. That was an upgrade of over being in slavery. They were free, but they were in a wilderness. Well, after a while, they run out of water and eating the same thing off the menu every day. There's only one thing on the menu, manna. And they started to grumble. And they started to complain. And guess who always gets the brunt of the grumbling? The leader. Who was the leader? Moses. So they started grumbling against Moses, like, Moses, you took us out of Egypt. It was so awesome in Egypt. It was just so nice and wonderful. And you made us come out here in this horrible desert and eat this food. And you know what God sent? God sent a bunch of snakes to bite them and kill them. Like, whoa, God takes grumbling seriously. So glad I didn't live in the Old Testament, right? Because God was different back then. Oh, was he? Then why does the next verse say this? Now, these things happen to them as an example to you. But they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the age has come. You know what he's telling us? The end of the age is kind of like being in a wilderness. There's a lot of stuff to grumble about around here. But you've still got the choice to be grateful or to be grumble. Let's talk about how good it was when you were in slavery. Look at what you've got to be grateful for. Romans chapter 1 verse 29 gives us a list. It's one of the most horrible lists in the Bible. And you do not want to hang out with people on this list. Here's the list. These people are evil, covetous, They have malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and maliciousness. They're gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Anybody want to hang out with that crowd? No, you never want to find your name on this list. The list that I just read you is the end of the list. The first thing on the list is mentioned in verse 21, and this is what it says. Although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Ungratefulness begins a downward spiral in your life into the worst forms of sin. It all starts with an ungrateful heart. If you don't want to be on the list, you better make sure that you're cutting the root of ungratefulness out of your heart. So often we try to deal with those things and we need rehab programs and they need counseling for all these things and their marriage is falling apart and they've got all these addictions and all these spirits are, you know, getting attacked by all these demon spirits and stuff. It's the fruit of what begins as a root of ungratefulness. The failure to thank God is the first step in the downward spiral into the worst kinds of sin. Ungratefulness will get worse in the last days, according to 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, in the last days, how many of you believe we're living in the last days? In the last days, here's how I know we are. In the last days, people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents. Second time we've seen that on the list today. And say it. Ungrateful. Do you see how serious this issue is? We need to cut it out of our lives. There's a passage of scripture, just one little verse in the 16th chapter of Acts that has made a huge impact on my life. It's the story of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were church planters. Are you grateful for our Harvest Church planters? Doing the hard work, doing the stuff in places where it's just hard. Paul and Silas set the example for that all throughout the book of Acts. They'd go into a community. They'd boldly proclaim the unapologetic truth of God's word. And lo and behold, people would get saved. And other people would get mad. So much so that the authorities would get involved. One day, Paul and Silas were preaching the gospel. The authorities showed up, put them in chains, dragged them into prison, beat them, threw them into a cell that's probably at best some stone walls and dirt floors and rags for clothes and no place to use a restroom, and they're in chains and it's cold and it's dirty and there's rats nibbling at their toes and there's no hope that they're ever going to get out alive, and they're beaten and bruised and bloody and exhausted. What would you be doing if that was you? Sitting over there sucking your thumb, here I am just trying to serve Jesus and this is the way I get treated, and God, you could get me out of here. Would you kill all these people in this prison and let me out of here? That's what we would be doing. What were Paul and Silas doing? Acts chapter 16, verse 25 says this, about midnight, Paul and Silas were doing two things, praying and singing hymns to God. Throughout the stone walls of that prison, you could hear the echoes of, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And that was echoing and reverberating down those prison cells. And notice what the second part of the verse says. And the prisoners were listening to them. There's so many times I hear Christians grumbling and complaining and whining about their circumstances. I want to walk right up to them and say, shh, the prisoners are listening. Do you understand that? There is way too much at stake in this world. You are impacting the world either through your gratefulness or your grumbling. And there was a prison impacted because two men chose, in the midst of their circumstances, gratefulness over grumbling. And we need to do the same. Second point is this. Gratefulness is the expression of a heart made clean. Gratefulness is the expression of a heart made clean. We're in Luke chapter 17 now. I want you to notice here in verse 11 through 19 a story about a Thanksgiving with nine turkeys. Verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he, Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers. Now you have to understand leprosy. Leprosy is a horrible disease, and we think of it as a skin disease, and it was, but really the worst part about leprosy was that it affected the nerve endings in the skin so that you couldn't actually feel things that you touched or run into. It took away the pain sensors in a person's life. Now, pain is good. You ever thanked God for pain? If you put your hand on a hot stove, there's a sensation of pain that motivates you to get your hand off the hot stove so that your arm does not catch on fire and burn the rest of you to death. Grateful for pain. Their sensation to feel pain had been taken away through disease. And so what would happen is they would bump into things and they didn't know they would injure themselves and they would be bruised after a while and bloody and infection would set in and until finally they would start to lose pieces of their body. Their fingers would fall off and their nose would start running. And I mean, literally, the nose would run away and just things would start disappearing. It was bad. Okay, and it was contagious, and so they would see these lepers coming into a community, and people would go running in the opposite direction. They needed to be isolated from other people. That's why it says here at the end of verse 12, they stood at a distance. So Jesus approaches, and he's approached by these 10 lepers, and they stood at a distance. Now, every time you see leprosy in the Bible, God is trying to communicate to us that that is the sin-sick condition of every human heart. You and I have a disease worse than leprosy. It's called the SIN virus. Sin. And you know what it does? It does exactly the same thing that leprosy does. We lose our sensitivity to God. And as a result, it creates distance. It makes us stand at a distance from God. Our sin creates distance from God. Think about it. We're infected with a terminal disease. We're dead in trespasses and sin, according to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're separated from the life of God. We're actually described as enemies and strangers to God. We're under the wrath of God. We're doomed to pay the just penalty for sin in hell for an eternity because we are infected by this disease and cannot approach God. We stand at a distance from God. So you and I are represented in this story of these 10 lepers. Let's find out what happened. Verse 13. It says, they lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You see, they understood something. Mercy closes the distance. And if Jesus would only turn his attention to them and speak an authoritative word into their life, he could instantly change the relationship of their sin to their lives and their lives to God. So how does Jesus respond in verse 14? When he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. You know what Jesus told them to do? He gave them the prescription that God had always given to lepers. And leprosy was such a terrible thing that God actually prescribed in the law back in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and these books what you're supposed to do with lepers. They're supposed to go and show themselves to the priest, and they get this designation, and it's kind of like a benevolence thing, and then they got put in this colony, and it was kind of a merciful thing even to have that because it was just a terrible thing. And Jesus just says, you guys need to do what you're supposed to do, and the Old Testament tells you to do, and go do that. So they obeyed. It says, as they went, they obeyed Jesus. They did what he told them to do. But as they went, they were cleansed. It was as if Jesus had compassion on these guys. He thought about the priest that they were going to go see, and like, that guy can't help them. It's like, I'm going to do something that's going to rock their world. And instantly, Jesus changes their physical condition from sick to well. Notice what happens in verse 15. And one of them, how many of them had leprosy? One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. That's why the word turned is in our definition. I'm not making this stuff up. We take it out of the Bible here. And so gratefulness involves turning back to face the one who has given me this incredible gift. It puts me face to face with the benefactor for a gift that I've received. So this guy turns back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And then commentary, oh, by the way, he was a Samaritan. It was as if Luke would say, even Samaritans get this. It's like the worst of the worst. And it's the worst of the worst who so many times when God changes their life are the ones that are the most grateful. And so this one guy turns back. Mercy closes the distance. And notice that gratefulness always puts my face in the dust. His face was at the feet of Jesus. That's the place where you express your gratefulness. It is a vertical act of worship that chooses to worship rather than to whine about the circumstances in my life. But Jesus had a question for him. Verse 17. Seems to me there were 10. Were there not 10 of you cleansed? Here's the question. Where are the other 9? Because I'm looking around at my feet here and I'm only seeing 1. And the expectation is that the all, 100% of those who receive mercy give gratefulness. And yet we see the ratio. 90% of the people fail to express proper gratefulness for mercy received. I think I do that. About 90% of the time, God is merciful to me. God is good to me. And I only get it right about 10%. I only see about 10% of all that God is doing. And so these guys, I believe 100% of these guys felt grateful. Don't you think if you got your nose back and fingers started showing up and skin disease was cleared up, don't you think that you would feel grateful? Yeah, I think 100% of them felt grateful. Only 10% of them expressed gratefulness. Because gratefulness is not just felt, it's expressed. And we fail in our gratefulness when we don't express it. So these guys come, they fall at his feet, and in verse 18, Jesus continues his question. was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Anybody ask you this week, how's it going? How are you? How are you? How'd you respond to that? How are you? Busy. That's the most popular answer. How are you? Busy. How are you? Can't complain. Really, that's the best you can get out of your gratefulness cavity there, and can't complain. How are you? Tired. How are you? I got this problem in my hip, and toothache, and these pimples on my face, and my hair's out of mess, and my friends are mad, and my mom's a drag, and I don't have a boyfriend. You just lay it all out. How are you? I'm a mess. How do you think this guy would have answered the question? How are you? I am well. I am doing very well. That's what it says. Your faith has made you well. How about this answer? How are you? Much better than I deserve. That's an answer that comes from a grateful heart. That's an answer that comes from a face that's in the dust at Jesus' feet. It's a perspective. It's understanding that my response of gratefulness is a response of worship. It's a response of prayer and praise and shouts to God and songs and lyrics written and blogs and attention and evangelism, telling other people about what God has done in our lives. You see, praise and worship is simply an expression of gratefulness, affirmation, and adoration to God for mercy that he has shown in my life. That's why Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, therefore let us be grateful. Why? For receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus offer to God, not just feel something to God, but offer something to God. What is that? Acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for God is a consuming fire. Think about what he's done for you. He has created us. He's created a world for us to enjoy. He's revealed himself in this world. He became a man for us. He died on a cross for us. He resisted temptation for us. He endured insults for us. He became our substitute on the cross. He conquered sin for us. He rescued us from death and disease. He pardoned us from judgment. He's delivered us from hell. He has given us a spirit that enables us and empowers us to obey him. He's given us deliverance from our enemies. He's preserved his word for us. He's provided health for us. He's rebuked enemies for us. He's made intercession for us. And he has prepared a place for us to enjoy him unhindered by the circumstances of this life in heaven forever. Think about what you have to be grateful for, and don't just feel it. Don't just think about it. Express it. As you came in today, you should have received a bulletin. You receive those, right? When you come in, you need those. We put tools in these for worship. One of the things that you received is on the back of the notes. Turn it over. See that? Got some lines there. Notice it says at the top, I am grateful for, and then there's blank lines. Guess what we want you to do with the blank lines? Fill it in. Anybody grow up in a church that sang that old hymn, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One? Remember that? We're not going to sing that. But we are going to do that, okay? I want you right now to start making a list of things that you are grateful for on the list. The longer it takes you to make the list, the more you need to hear this message. I was thinking, go ahead and make your list. I was thinking about it this morning as I drug myself out of bed this morning. I was sitting there like, oh, alarm clock went off early. I got to get out of bed. Get out of what? A bed. You have a what? You have a bed with a pillow. A pillow? You have a pillow? Yeah. So I got to get out of bed. I got to go into the bathroom and You have a what? You have a bathroom. And there's a shower. A shower? Yeah, it has this little knob of a valve. You turn the valve and you have a valve? Yeah, you can choose between hot and cold. You can choose hot. You can choose hot water. You have water? Yeah, and there's a towel. You have a towel? And you stepped onto a bath mat and those little fuzzies get in your toes. Fuzzies? Yeah, and then you gotta brush your teeth. You have a toothbrush? You have teeth? And because I gotta go to church. You have a church? Yeah, it's a long sermon. You got to hear a sermon? Yeah, the guy, he's like, got 1,000 scripture. Scripture? Yeah, it's God. You have a God who reveals himself in your language. He talks to human beings. Yeah, are you in awe of everything down to the fuzzies and the teeth in your head so that you can eat food? You have food? Acceptable worship with reverence and awe. You could put categories on this list. We just talked about things. You could put people on that list. You could put events on that list. You could put under the events things that haven't happened to you. Just because of where you live and the family you were born into. Gratefulness is the expression of a heart made clean. Keep working on your list. Here's the third thing. Gratefulness expressed to others acknowledges the greatness of God. Gratefulness expressed to others acknowledges the greatness of God. We've been talking about vertical greatness. Let's talk for a few minutes about horizontal greatness. Gratefulness. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says this: we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly. And not only that, the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. You know what Paul did when he wrote this? He wrote it to a church. He'd been there 3 weeks. He'd planted the church. He was there for 3 weeks and he left. But he kept hearing these reports about the great things that God was doing in that church that he'd planted. And it prompted in his heart vertical worship to God. He couldn't get over what he was seeing. It's like, man, you hear about these people. They have more faith than they had when you left. Their prayers are deeper and wider and stronger and longer, and they're getting answered. What a great faith. God is growing. This is a 5G church. It's growing. And Paul was just, I'm giving thanks to God for what I'm seeing in you. Not only that, they're loving each other. They're all a mess, but they love each other anyway. And it's even increasing. They love each other, not perfectly, but increasingly. They love each other. Not grumbling and nitpicking and fighting and criticizing and being cynical and picking out all the flaws in one another and saying, that's the best you can. No, they are loving one another. And it prompted Paul to be a grateful worshiper to God. That's the kind of church we need and that we're building. And if you're going to be a grumbler, we're going to make you feel really uncomfortable because we're going to love you anyway. And we're going to help you to understand you need to increase in your gratefulness and get your eyes off of the negative and see the greatness of God in other people. Gratefulness recognizes the greatness of God in others. You ever catch someone being patient? You ever catch someone being kind and thoughtful and diligent and forgiving and then call up somebody? You're not going to believe what I heard happen today at church. I saw someone thanking someone else. I can't believe that. I'm going to call my neighbor right now. And rumors start to fly. And good gossip happens. Because we are calling attention to the greatness of God that He's producing in us. Gratefulness recognizes the greatness of God in others. Gratefulness affirms the greatness of God in others. Again, we don't just feel it, we express it. I got to tell you, this is my number one prayer for my sanctification right now. God, I want to grow in affirmation. You see, gratefulness expressed vertically is adoration. Gratefulness expressed horizontally is affirmation. And I walk up to you, or I write you a note, or I express with a gift, I appreciate what I see in your life. A lack of affirmation is a demotivator. It destroys unity. It destroys families. It destroys churches. It destroys organizations. When we don't commend the things that are commendable, you know what happens? People start moving away from us. They stop listening to us. Even if what you are saying is right and true and bold, people don't listen if they don't feel affirmed. God, grow me in that. And then finally, gratefulness grows the greatness of God in others. Gratefulness has the power to change behavior. When you're affirming the good in others, you reinforce the good behavior in them. They want to do it again because they want the more affirmation. Affirmation gains a hearing. People tend to be influenced by the people who affirm them. As a parent, have you noticed that you get really good at lecturing? I mean, parents, man, we're pros at that. And yet, everything that we're saying can be true and right and convincing, and yet it doesn't change the behavior, does it? Unless there's an affirmation that says, I see what God is doing in your life, and there's so much to commend you for. That's the kind of gratefulness that we need in our church and in our homes. So, one more little exercise here. There's another sheet of paper in your bulletin. It looks like this. Just fold that in half. And if you'll notice, it makes a nice little card. And for the next several minutes, do you know what we're going to do? We're going to write a note. It says, I'm grateful. Just open that back up to the blank. This is going to be the first of 10 notes of gratefulness that I want every member of this church to write and express and distribute in the next 5 days. 2 notes a day, or you can write all 10 right now. But we're going to write one right now. And I'm going to give you time to do it. So I just want you to think, what are the things I can be grateful for, and to whom has God... Who has God used to get those good things to me? All right, so you can make a list. And I'm sure the first person that comes to mind is your pastor. Just put that at the end. I mean, that'd be nice, but just put that at the end. But I want you to think of the person that you could express gratefulness to that would be totally shocked if they got a note from you. This is the person you probably most often criticize. This is probably the person that is hardest for you to love. And yet right now, for you to begin to see the greatness of God in that person, you can even do this with unbelievers. That hard-hearted atheist that you have to deal with. What if you were to say to him, you know what? I've seen the way that you love your wife. And I just want you to know, that's a great thing God is doing in your life. They may look at you just like, hey, God ain't no God, it's just me. Well, you can say that if you want to, but you only love somebody else because God loves you and He deposited that in your heart. And that's the image of God stamped on you. Really? Yeah. Write the note. I'm going to give you time to do it right now. I see about 3 people writing right now. This is application time. God doesn't change us by hearing truth. God changes us by obeying truth. Take the time that you need to finish that. We're going to end the service today by remembering the Lord as we take the elements of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask the servers to come right now, and they're going to begin to serve you. As the elements come down your aisle, you'll notice that there's a cup. It's double cupped, and so there's a piece of bread in the bottom cup, and there's juice in the top cup. Just take that. Hold on to it. We're going to take it together in a moment. This is something the Lord left us so that we would remember to be grateful for His death in His broken body on the cross as His blood was spilled. Two elements. The bread represents His body that was broken for us. The blood represents the juice represents His blood that was spilled for us. To help us remember the most merciful act that ever took place, as God sent His Son to die on that cross in my place as a substitute for my sin. And every time we remember the Lord's death in communion, we're to examine ourselves. And we've been examining ourselves if you've been responding to this message. We're not to take it unworthily. So let's let the Lord continue to do that, even as Micah sings. Let's examine ourselves. Remember the Lord.
You've been listening to an audio sermon brought to you by Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. For more information, please feel free to contact us by visiting our website, harvestgranger.org.